Testing, testing. It's come through.
It was not closed down.
Oh, okay.
Be careful when you put it on.
My little fat belly.
Don't put your hand underneath it, because if you hit that thing, it'll make the battery come loose.
Testing. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, church, for opening your hearts to me, for allowing me to be in this pulpit. It is an honor and a privilege to be in this pulpit. I know the men that have stood in this pulpit, and no way I can stand in those shoes. Let me think of Benny Skinner and Brother Eddie and Oscar and the rest of them. Gee, where do we start, Lord? How do we bring forth the new thing that you're doing, Lord? How do we get into the reality of this hour instead of the signs, the symbols, the shadows that we've been feeding on for centuries and ages? But I hear the Lord now saying, I'm going to give you new life. There's going to come an impartation of my life in my people to demonstrate that everything the prophets and the preachers and the evangelists that have been proclaiming for ages and centuries is going to come to manifestation. It's going to come to manifestation. My spirit is about to break forth in the lives of all those people who have loved me, who have diligently sought me, who have prayed to me, who have cried out to me. And now comes the hour, my children. Now comes the hour. The scripture didn't say, I came to bring you love. It didn't say, I came that you might speak in tongues. It didn't say that you might prophesy. But it says, I come that you might have, yes, life. I have come that you might have my life, saith the Lord. And in my life is gifts of healing, miracles, wonders, gifts of the Spirit of prophesying and knowledge and wisdom. All of that is in my life. And my life is in you. But understand, there is coming a greater impartation of my life to those who love me and to those who seek me, because life comes out of a loving relationship. When two come together, they create new life. They create life. Apart from one another, they cannot create life. They've got to be intimate with their partner, with their husband. The wife has to become intimate with the husband to create life. And I am calling in this hour a people whose heart's desire is to become intimate with their husband. I love how Doug Fortune broke down the word. At least I heard it from him. I don't know who he heard it from. Probably by the Spirit. But when he used the word intimacy in one of his writings, he said, into me, see? I am calling you to come into me, see? Intimacy. When Jesus came to earth, yes, he did come to reveal his deity to the world, but he also came to reveal your divinity. The Son came to reveal the divinity that you have with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit, that we are all one. The Lord gave me a poem that I haven't shared here because I haven't got a handle on it myself. Partially, I'm starting to see what the Lord is saying in this poem, but it's a little bit of a brain twister. You have to kind of listen to it. And it says this, assigned to the nations we must become in order to demonstrate that we are one. One with the Father, one in the Son, and one through the Holy Spirit to prove the sum. S-U-M. For you must see that without you and without me, there can be no complete sum of the total of three. For indeed this appears difficult to see, but it's just part of the great mystery. The mystery of the Godhead and the family to be will soon be made manifest through the Father above to show the creation of his redeeming great love. So continue to focus on the Father and me, and you will understand just how this can be. And I thought, do you have any scripture to back that up, Lord? And of course, I went to Colossians where Jesus is talking about, I don't recall it right off the top of my head, but Colossians 2, 9 and 10, somewhere in there, where it talks about the Godhead and the Father, the Son, and all of us intertwined. He's the big wheel, or the little wheel within the big wheel that Ezekiel saw, the big wheel. And then there was the wheel within the wheel. Okay? But the Lord has really been saying to me, I've been getting afflicted this week a little bit. I'm not so sure I've ever been as afflicted in any one week as when I started getting this message. It just seems like I could just sense that there was things going on. Murphy was hiding under every bush and under every chair. And I kind of wanted to start to get into some of this physical thing that was going on. And the Lord says, son, you have eyes, but you don't see. I said, gee, Lord, it's a nice thing to say to me after 40 years of reading the scriptures and being in church and, you know. And he said, well, you see what you believe. And you believe what you see. And you're seeing this vertigo. And you're believing into this vertigo. You know, it makes you woozy and dizzy and all that. And he says, there's no vertigo in me. I created you perfect. Be ye perfect. Be ye perfect. Walk in my perfection. I wouldn't tell you that if you couldn't do that. Because what you're focused on is what you're believing in. And I got up this morning, and he said, look to the unseen. Don't look to the seen. Everything that you're seeing is temporal, corruptible. It's all coming to an end. It's all fading out. And my kingdom, which will always stand, and my government, the increase of it, there'll be no end. Look to the unseen. And so I said, I'm sorry, Vertigo, you don't exist in me. I'm looking to the unseen. And every time my head would spin, I go, I don't see that. I'm looking to the unseen. Now, you can say, well, you're just doing mind over matter. Well, bless God, that's how God works. If he can get your mind, he'll get you over the matter. Amen? Praise God. So, Paul went to the Galatian church, and he said, I realize this is a little harsh what I'm going to say, as you read different translations. Paul got a little harsh with them. And he said, gee, you guys started out wonderfully. You accepted Jesus Christ. You moved into the Spirit. He was moving forward in the things of the unseen realm. Things were going great. He said, now all of a sudden, you're in this one translation I love. I think it was a message. Now you're in this pretended relationship with God. What are you doing? You're back under the law again. You're trying to do things that pleases God. You're trying to find acceptance with the Lord. You're going to church 10 times a week. You're going to all the Bible studies. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But if that's become your righteousness, then you're dead.
Amen.
And your faith is dead. Now, all the prophetic poetry that the Lord has given here, I started reviewing it again. And one of the prophetic words I got a while back was, I'm just reading pieces of these poems. The Lord wanted me to go back and examine every one of these poems that the Lord has given me here this year. And there's a thing, there's a theme and a thread that's running through every one of these prophetic words. And it started out a year and a half ago when the Lord gave me a prophetic word. And there he says, for many are in the valley of indecision. Even though they have received my son Jesus, they have not taken on his life. They have not taken on his life. And the Galatians started out good. They had Christ in them. But when they got into formalities and into a big con job, and they started acting religious and doing all the, performing all the ceremonies, Christ was no longer being formed in them. He was in them, but he wasn't being formed. And he says, hey, you guys, I travail. I'm having pain over you guys. Now, I realize that may sound a little harsh, but you guys are getting to me. Because you need Christ formed in you. You need to get back to your first love, Ephesus. I know your works, but your first love. Remember when you went on the honeymoon with Jesus? I do. And I reflect back on that experience so many, many times. And many times I've said to myself, Lord, why don't I feel that honeymoon experience anymore? Now, I know we can't necessarily stay on a honeymoon high all the time, okay? But just to go on a honeymoon one time and not experience that anymore, and everything else becomes drudgery and work, it's like the Lord saying, well, you were so simple then. Our relationship was so simple then. It was just, hear me now, it was just you and me. It was just you and me. But now, for some reason, you've added all this stuff. And we pick up a lot of this stuff in religion, and there's a lot of stuff we're in. I was thinking about some trees, and I was getting a prophetic word this morning as I was laying in bed. And the Lord was saying, there have been many trees that have grown in my garden. We are the garden of God. And He is the life of the garden. And He says, there's been many trees that have grown in my garden that I have not planted. They come through false religious thoughts, the flesh, the devil. And we've seen these things and we embrace these things. And when you embrace them, you plant them. When you believe in them, you plant them. And as they stay planted, they grow into big trees, the Lord said. They grow into big trees. He says, and then my people find shade underneath those trees. And they find comfort underneath those trees. And He said, I'm coming to visit my garden. And I'm coming with lightning bolts. Just like at your farm, son, remember you had those three beautiful trees that stood right outside that farmhouse of yours. You sat under there many times with the picnic tables, and everybody had a good time, and there was nothing wrong with that. But He said, then lightning came and struck all three of them down. And it did. Three beautiful trees. They were probably four stories high. It was the only shade that we had out in that whole area. I came up one day, and there it was, just cut right down the center. So I had to bring one of the farm boys over to chop it all down. And then another one went down. And then another one. Here I sit with no trees at all now, no shade. And the Lord said, I'm going to send the lightning of my word to my church, and I'm going to start killing some of those big trees that they've planted in my garden. In their garden. Those trees are going to come out. And I'm going to send a spirit of burning to take the stumps out, to uproot that stuff. But then I'm going to plant. I'm going to plant some beautiful trees there. And they're going to be young. They're going to be full of vitality. And they're going to have beautiful leaves on them. And that's what the Lord has been saying to me. And He keeps talking to me about, there's going to be an impartation of my life into my church. And we're going to start seeing through His eyes. We're going to have a different vision. It's going to be a spiritual vision. It's not going to be an earthly vision. That's the problem that we have right now. The church is seeing so earthly. I mean, to them, the vision is a larger building and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, even that, I'm not coming against it. But the Lord is going to restore back to the church a true vision. And the kingdom of God is going to start flourishing in the earth. And the greatest problem that we have is we are putting everything off to a future time. Yes. The kingdom's coming. Yes. When? Well, it's coming, that's for sure. Or He ain't God if it ain't. I looked up the word last day. It said that in the last day, okay, it talks about the scriptures. And when I looked that up, one of the interpretations I got, and I'm sure a man threw this in, but it was interesting because I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to see this. And it said that in the last day, that the Lord was going to come from heaven and He was going to restore His kingdom and He was going to pass great judgment upon the earth. And I thought, amen. Well, guess what happened 2,000 years ago? The Lord came, He planted His kingdom in us, and He passed judgment upon the whole earth. And we all came out of that judgment, we all came out of that death into life. And ever since then, His kingdom has been growing in this earth. And there's been an increase, and there's been no end to his kingdom. It's been growing. It started out with 12. Now it's billions. All over the earth, billions of people are in the kingdom of God because of his great grace and his great love. What are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting. Most of our brothers and sisters are waiting for the Lord to return. Amen? Many of them are waiting for the great judgment. The judgment is coming. Well, fortunate for you, brother, it has already come. Okay. You just don't know it because you haven't partaken of God's grace. You know? One of the poems that the Lord gave me said, it was called God's Great Grace. And I noticed that in the book of Acts, I've never seen this before, but in the book of Acts it said there was 5,000 saved in one day, and this happened, and they were getting healed, and blah, 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 blah. And it said, because there was great grace upon the church. There was great grace upon, not just grace, but great grace was upon that church. And good grief, what happened on that day when that great grace fell upon the church, and the day of Pentecost, whatever, when the Spirit was being poured out? It was being poured out. There was tremendous miracles and everything. And the Lord was saying to me in a poem, there is coming a great grace upon my people who are in the race and keeping pace. I thought, well, Lord, gee, you know, what about the guy sitting in the congregation and says, well, what's that mean, in the race and keeping pace? I'm not so sure I'm in the race or keeping pace. Well, then the Lord says, then you don't need the great grace if you're not in the race. Or you can use the great grace to get in the race so you can draw the strength and to keep the pace. He says that he's going to impart a grace to lead and a grace to guide. A place to draw you to my side, a place where I can lead you through the storms, a place where there will be no harm, a place where they can have my life and abide, a place where they can come and hide. He is our hiding place, amen? A place where my power will be released upon the earth that's seeking peace. For I desire that all be saved and come into the Lord's new day. For my blood was shed for all mankind, so that all would come into the divine. You've heard it said, we live and move and have our being in him. But I would say now, I want to live and move and have my being in you. For the time has come to see me face to face. The time has come to run the race. Now listen, you have to hang in here. For to you there will be no more time nor space. No more chronos time. We're not going to be focused on this world. We're not going to be concerned with everything man's doing in this world, with the nuclear bombs, with Trump and Hillary. We're not going to be concerned with any of that stuff. Because my grace is going to be so poured out on you, and my life is going to rise up within you, that you're not going to belong to this world anymore. All right. Truly, the word that says you're in the world, but you're not of the world, is going to be fulfilled, says the Lord. You're in it, but you're coming out of it. But it's only my life and my grace that's going to take you out of that world. Because this thing is so filled with the world. And there's constant battle going on in this thing, and that's where the battleground is. The mind has got to be renewed. Because when you accept Jesus, you reach out with this hand and you grab a hold of the Lord, and you still have the world in this hand. And the Lord is calling you, and you're coming, and you're coming. And then the world calls, and then you're coming, and you're coming this way. And right here is where the battle is, between this and this. That's where the processing is. That's where all the pain that we go through. That's all the agony we go through that we blame God for, by the way. Back and forth. We got a hold of him with this hand. We got a hold of the world with this hand. And the Lord's saying, there's plenty of grace. There's coming plenty of grace for you to just let go of this. But you're not going to let go of this until you see something that's more glamorous and more glorious and more beautiful than that.
Unfortunately, that's the way it works with us. And when you start seeing the Lord, then you start seeing, I don't need this stuff anymore. Because you start seeing Him and the beauty of His holiness and how glorious He is. And it starts dawning on you who you really are in Him. And that the things of this world is nothing but dung, like the Apostle Paul said. When Paul got a glimpse, when he went to that third heaven, when he walked into the third day that we're moving into, everything else was dung, he said. I count as nothing. For to you there will be no more time nor space, for it will be my mind that will take its place. A place of rest. Hallelujah. A place of rest, Debbie. Debbie's a place of rest. A place of peace. Hallelujah. A place where time and space are released. For I'm taking off the limits of my spirit in you, and I'm bringing you out to an expanded view. So continue on to seek my face, for you have entered into my glorious grace, a grace that knows no boundaries or time, but a place of harmony, love, and rhyme. All these poems talk about new life. They talk about grace. And the last part of one of these poems says, so take my hand and follow me and keep on eating from the promised tree. And as you do, you will see this life abundant and its reality. Keep holding the hand of the Lord and keep eating from the tree of life. That's what the Lord said He was. Amen. And stop eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when the vertigo hit me this morning, I said, I'm going to eat of the tree of life. I'm going to look to the unseen. And all of a sudden, the unseen, as we continue to look and continue to strive and continue to fight the good fight of faith, is what we're talking about. All of a sudden, the unseen becomes the seen.
Yes, that's right.
And all of a sudden, that becomes the unseen. Don't want no more to do with it. It just passes away. God starts giving you a new heaven and a new earth. The earth passes away, and the new heavens come into your heaven. Praise God. Amen. And I'll end it with this. There was a prayer that the Lord gave me, a little short prayer. I shared it with you guys some months back. And I'm going to pray this prayer over us this morning. Yeah. Actually, this whole sermon started off with, one with the Father I cannot be, until I allow the Christ to be formed in me. What fellowship hath light with darkness? That's what the Lord's saying. He's not saying you're not one with Him, because you are one with Him. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But we're coming into a time where the Lord says, I want my bride to come out of the wilderness. I want to show you off. I want to show off my Son, the manifestation of my Son. Amen. And life only comes, and the Lord spoke this right to me. He said, Son, life only comes through an intimate marriage. When the two come together, that's what brings forth the life. And we're not going to have to worry about faith and about love. We're really not.
Because when you're possessed of God, of Jesus Christ, you are love. You be love. You don't try and apprehend love because you be love. You don't try and get gifts of speaking in tongues and so on and so forth. You are that. You get it all in His life. That's the reason why He said, I come that you might have life. And that's the hour that we're in right now. Paul said, my dear children, I feel the pains of birth upon me again, and I will continue to labor for you until the Anointed One is formed completely in you. I wish I were there. This letter is really harsh, yet I am really perplexed by you. You started out in the Spirit. Then you ended up over in here. And we're all guilty. I mean, there's aspects of our life where we're allowing these trees to be planted in our garden, okay? None of us are exempt from this. I don't want to get into some of the stuff that we've allowed to get planted, because then you start preaching condemnation and all that stuff. But whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. That's the issue here, life. The enemy wants to take the life from you. God has come that you might have His life. Don't give your life up. It's yours. It's been bought and paid for with a very high price. And through God's grace and His great love, we can have it. We can tap into it anytime we want to. And the more you tap into it, the more you be it. Amen? Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has this life. Eat His flesh, drink His blood, and I will raise him up at the last day. The last day, the definition said, the day that Christ will return. Has He returned? Amen. Yes, He has. To raise the dead. Did He raise the dead? He said, the hour is coming, and even now is, that those who are dead in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God. And He raised the dead. He raised Lazarus. I don't know how many countless He raised. John says the books couldn't even contain the miracles that He did. Well, on the last day, God's going to come from heaven. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to hold the final judgment and perfect His kingdom. And He did all that 2,000 years ago. And His kingdom has been growing and growing, and the increase of His government, there is no end. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this word this morning. And Father, I pray, dear Lord, to keep our mind while in the way. For as we look to You above, You fill our mind with peace and love. But when we set our sights below, our mind does tell us things of woe. And since I know the kingdom is here and is ahead, I'll purpose in my heart to reckon my mind dead, and I'll press forward, and I will not look behind, and I will trust that You are renewing every part of my mind. Praise You, God. Praise You, God. God, give us a cutting word in this hour, Father, to cut away all the fat around the hearts of Your church, Father, and of those that are lost out there. Let it be a word, Father, that will cut right through the very fatness of their soul and right into their spirit, Lord. And let those who are in the grave, spiritually dead, hear the voice of the Lord coming through us, Father. For Your glory, Lord, and for the expansion of Your great kingdom, Father, all creation is just crying for Your kingdom to come forth in Your sons, that You might be mightily glorified. And as Oscar always prays, we'll be sure to give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise You, Lord.